You've tuned in to the Grace in Truth podcast. Today, we conclude our series of messages from the book of Esther, taught at Oak Ridge Baptist Church in Marietta, Texas.
When we get to Esther chapter 9, we see a call to remember. The last night, I run and I went to take care of an errand, and Amy told me, on the way back, make sure you pick up some bacon and a tomato. Anybody want to guess what we're having for lunch today? I said, okay, no problem. We went off, I ran the errand, we're coming back, and I decide to go a different way home, and guess what's not on the different way home? The grocery store. So we get there, and I thought, oh no, I didn't forget what I was supposed to get. I forgot to get it. And by God's grace, I looked up and said, wait a minute, I haven't gone through Redwater yet. There's a spring market there. So we stopped and picked up the stuff. But how many times do you go to do something and you forget? All right? It's amazing how many times somebody forgets, especially if they're under the age of 13, even though I've been told that boys up to the age of 17 can forget to brush their teeth every morning. We have things that we know we're supposed to do, but we easily forget them. I want you to understand that at the beginning of chapter 9, that 13th day of Adar has come. The moment that the Jews were supposed to experience genocide has happened, and we learned of the reversal of that with Mordecai and Esther issuing the decree that said the Jews were able to defend themselves. This wasn't something that the Jews could just wreak havoc on whoever they wanted to. It wasn't a license of chaos or murder. It was strictly an edict that said, if somebody comes to attack you, you have the ability to defend yourself. And there was one more thing added to that. You defend yourself and you are able to plunder and take anything you want from those people that attack you. So this wasn't a license to kill everybody. This was simply an edict of defense that hopefully God would bring about salvation against that edict of death that had been instated by Mordecai. We get to verse 3. Mordecai has crawled up the ladder immediately. Haman's gone, and Mordecai takes his place plus some with his authority over the kingdom. And when we get to verse 3, we understand that the officials, the satraps, the governors, all the people that were over these 127 provinces in the kingdom of Persia had joined with the Jews and stood beside the Jews. Why? Because the first person they answered to was a Jew. So they lent a helping hand to everybody, every Jewish person. When we get to verse 6, we learn that in the citadel alone, in Susa, where the king is at, or where Ahasuerus is at, 500 men have been killed. This does not mean that the Jews went out and just picked a fight with who they wanted to. It means there were 500 men that wanted to harm the Jewish people in that city. Esther goes to the king and asks for the 14th day of Adar just to make sure. This wasn't so that on the 14th day, the day after, the people in the citadel, the in Susa there, could attack whoever they wanted to. What we learn is that there were people that didn't attack on the 13th that were going to attack on the 14th. How many of those? 300. In 2 days, we have 800 people in the city of Susa alone that bear arms against the Israelites, against the Jewish people, desiring to wipe them out. And as news comes back from the edges of the kingdom, we learn that 75,000 total have brought arms against the Jewish people, desiring to annihilate them. And the Jews are granted victory. They defeat their enemies, but here's the catch. Even though they were allowed to plunder, there was no plundering that took place. We go to chapter 9, and we learn that. We see that it's a role or a model that was set out in Genesis 14. Remember, Abraham goes to rescue Lot and save his nephew. And he comes back in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the kingdoms of that area desired to give Abraham treasures from what they had plundered. And Abraham says, no, I'm not going to take them, lest you say, you have made me rich. when it's God who has blessed me with every blessing I have. We see that same model as the Israelites entered into the promised land in Joshua chapter 6. They were there to defeat the people, but they did not plunder them. In fact, we have one account of somebody plundering named Achan. Anybody remember what happens to him? Earth splits open and he falls down in it. We have this testimony that God gives deliverance, that God supplies the needs of his people, and we see it repeated here when they do not plunder their enemies. God's brought salvation. Can you imagine the 11 months of apprehension? How many of you have ever had something you've waited for and you've waited for it impatiently? They know the day of their death and they have been on pins and needles waiting to see what happens. The day comes, even after the edict of defense has been issued, they don't know who's coming to attack them. They don't know what they're going to try, what they're going to do. I had a friend one time, I asked him to watch our house while we went away for a week. And he was a pretty crafty fella, and I came back, and he was telling me everything he did to make sure our house was safe. I thought, man, we were only gone for a week. It's not like Russia was going to invade us or anything. He tells me about how he walks to the back door, and he scuffs up the dirt so he could come by every day and see if footprints were there to see if people were peering in the windows. All these things he did to prepare just in case something would happen. And so you can only imagine what the Israelites did to prepare just in case somebody came and attacked. But finally the day comes, it goes, and they find rest. How many of you know the goodness of that rest when you have been tense, you have been apprehensive, and the moment comes and goes, and you just feel like laying down and sleeping? The story's over. The climax has come and gone. Now what are they supposed to do? God has done something great among his people. Other nations have come and rejoiced and honored God. What are they supposed to do now? Esther and Mordecai tell them the thing they need to do now is not forget what has happened. They are called to remember. And they do it by initiating the Feast of Purim. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to chapter 9 of Esther. We're going to begin reading in verse 20. We're going to read verses 20 through 28. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be up there on the screen. And if you're able, I ask you to stand as we read God's Word. Remember, this is Esther chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. And Mordecai recorded these things and sent letters to all the Jews who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, obliging them to keep the 14th day of the month of Adar and also the 15th day of the same year by year, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned for them from sorrow into gladness, from mourning into a holiday, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, days for sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted what they had started to do and what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, this enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast Pur, that is, lots, to crush and destroy them. But when it came before the king, he gave orders in writing that his evil plan that he had devised against the Jews should be returned on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Therefore, they call these days Purim, after the term Pur. Therefore, because of all that was written in this letter, and of what they had faced in this matter, and of what had happened to them, the Jews firmly obligated themselves and their offspring and all who joined them, that without fail they would keep these 2 days according to what was written and at the time appointed every year, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation in every clan, province, and city, that these days of Purim should never fall into disuse among the Jews, nor should the commemoration of these days cease among their descendants. Let's pray. Father, take your word this morning. Take your truth We pray that you would use it to convict our hearts. You would use it to bring us to repentance and restoration. Lord, that you would give us a call to remember this morning. Remember the great salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Remember the gifts and the blessings that you have entrusted us with as stewards of your world. Of the lives that we've been stewarded with, that we would bear one another's burdens and encourage each other. That we would have a spirit of remembrance that would lead us to rejoice. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now there is something foreshadowing here. The fact that the feast of remembering salvation would be marked with food. He sets this in order, Mordecai and Esther, and the point of celebrating this year after year is to give the people something tangible, something that they would hold on to that would bring them security in the moment-by-moment, everyday happenstances of life. In fact, we go to Psalm chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, and listen to what it says, especially as it pertains to this idea of pure, this lot that was cast. It says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." See, this feast called Purim was because of the plan of Haman that had been thwarted by the design of God. Now remember when Haman began to plot and the anger and wrath against Mordecai had begun to build. He went and he cast lots to determine what month and what day would be the one that he would carry out this plan of genocide. And so if you want to picture this, he takes dice and he rolls them and says, nope, the first month's not it. He rolls it again. Nope, the second month's not it. And he continues to cast these lots, seeking some type of divination or some what we would call worship of the demonic realm to find out what day this decree of death needs to happen on. And he finally lands in the month of Adar. Man has cast lots and he's plotted the destruction of God's people. But what man has failed to understand is that God holds his people in his hand. And so we read this Psalm, chapter 16, verse 5 and 6, and we go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, and we learn this truth that is the undergirding of the Feast of Purim. The lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. So no matter what had taken place, no matter the instances and occurrences around the people of God, around the Israelites, God had them in his hand. And even though man desired to bring destruction to God's people, God showed man who was really in control. Circumstances, things had happened, and it seemed as though all hope was lost, but it wasn't. And God wanted the people to remember this moment. The people were called to remember his work of salvation, and this wasn't the first time. Understand that memory is a gift and a curse from God. How many of you have ever had things you can't forget? All right? It seems to play over and over in our minds. But memory is designed to be a gift, but the enemy desires to use it to torment us. We must acknowledge the gift of memory and use it properly in order to disarm the one that desires to use it improperly. So what was this recorded? We go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 3, and they're supposed to remember. Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand of the Lord brought you out from this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten." Now what were they supposed to remember here? Yeah, let me help you. Let my people go. Okay? Supposed to remember God bringing deliverance out of bondage, out of sorrow, out of slavery from Egypt and delivering them so that they could enter the promised land. And he tells them repeatedly in Exodus and Deuteronomy and even recorded in Numbers that they have to remember. In fact, we see that they don't remember often, even though he tells them to. We could go to Numbers chapter 15, verses 39 and 40. They're to remember the Ten Commandments. Who'd have thunk that that's something worth remembering? You shall have no other gods before me. Number one, right off the bat. Do they forget that? Absolutely. But God calls his people to remember his work and his word. We go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15. They're to remember God's hand, just as we see in Exodus, how he brought them out of Egypt in those magnificent works. They were told to remember because God remembers his people. Did God remember them in the midst of Egypt? Yes. Did God remember the covenant that he made with Noah in Genesis chapter 8? Yes. We go to Genesis chapter 9. He remembers the covenant with Noah again. We go to Genesis chapter 19. God remembers his covenant that he made with Abraham. We go to Exodus chapter 2. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he brings his people out of Egypt. We go to Exodus further and further and dig. And we learn that time and time again, even though God's people forgot him, he did not forget his people. But he initiated these things, these festivals, these celebrations and remembrances, so that they would have something physical to remind them. You understand that's why you celebrate an anniversary, right? The ladies are going, yes. The guys are hanging their head because they forgot a couple of times. So that you would remember, so that would be renewed within. Why? Because how many of you have ever gotten mad at your spouse? And you have forgotten those vows that you exchanged that day. It happens. But blessed be God who gives us moments of remembrance. See, God never forgot his people. He had told them to remember numerous times. But we don't have to dig very hard in the Old Testament and even into the New Testament. We look at the testimony of the Galatians where Paul says, "Who has bewitched you that you so quickly turn away from the means of salvation?" We go to Judges chapter 3, verse 7. People forget. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot. They forgot the Lord. And instead served the Baals and the Asherahs. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 9, again, the nation of Israel, it says, they forgot the Lord their God. We are forgetful people. We forget the things that God has done. And why in the world would God want us to remember? Why would he put these things in place? Even in the New Testament church, why would we celebrate Easter? Why would we eventually, a few centuries later, remember and celebrate Christmas? See, God gives the answer. He never tells us to do something that applies to the whole body, without being good enough to give us reasons. Now, some of those reasons we don't see directly, do this because, but when it comes to remembering, we get that gift. We go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 18, and listen to why they're supposed to remember. You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh into all Egypt. Here's Deuteronomy. They haven't crossed into the promised land yet. If you know that Egypt was defeated, raise your hand. Okay, some of you need to watch the Ten Commandments this Easter, okay? Egypt was defeated. They're leaving after wandering in the wilderness. They're standing on the cusp of the promised land. They're about to enter, and we know the first time they entered, they went in and they saw all these places, cities that had walls, fruit and vegetables that were abundant and were huge. And they came out saying, there must be giants in this land. And because there's giants in this land, we're going to completely forget that God wiped out the entire army of the Egyptians, and we're just not going to go in. Here they are the second time around, and he says, remember what I did to Egypt so that you can have confidence as you enter the promised land. The same God that brought them out of Egypt was the same God that was going to bring them to the place he had promised Abraham. They were not to forget so that they would have security and hope as they walked into the future and in the present. They needed to remember that they could trust God. And the best way to do that is by remembering what he has already done. Why do we remember? So that we walk with confidence now. But it does something else. We read in Judges chapter 3, verse 7. Judges chapter 3, verse 7. That remembering guards us. It says, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherah. See, when we remember what God has done, it helps keep our feet on the right path. How many of you have ever gone someplace to eat and they've brought out your food and it's looked like charcoal? Or how many of you have ever gotten food poisoning from someplace? Now listen, are you quick next time around to go back to that place? No, what do? You go somewhere else. And you go somewhere else because you remembered what happened the last time you went there. See, the idea of remembering God's work and the things that He has done is to keep us going the places we need to go. When they forgot the things that God had done, they looked at the Baals and the Asherahs, these statues, these wooden sculptures or carvings, and they served these gods, lowercase g, that had never done anything for them. And the only way we are able to do that is when we forget that God, capital G, has done great and amazing things in our life. So this remembering, this call to remember, it does two things. It gives us hope and security now, but it also keeps us following Him. And that's His design and desire. You realize that you come here every Sunday to help remember. Some of us come Sunday nights and Wednesday nights because we need more help remembering than some of you. But these services, these things that are put in place, God has designed them for the sake of allowing us to remember. How many of you have ever forgotten something really funny that's ever happened? And then you've sat around with your family and you've been visiting about it and you remember it and you start to chuckle again. See, it's that testimony of one another about bearing each one of another's burdens, about lifting each other up, that in the church body we remember the good things that God has done. We are to be a people that remembers. And just as Esther and Mordecai had set that up for the nation of Israel, which they still celebrate today, they still celebrate 2 days, the first one being a day of fasting and the second one being a day of feasting, so that they would remember God's deliverance. They would remember God's goodness. And this morning, we would do well to remember that. We would do well to remember the mighty acts of God. We would do good to remember and read Genesis, that the God that we serve, our Creator, spoke something out of nothing. He said, "Let there be light," and guess what? There was light. And guess what? There wasn't a sun yet. Yet He can create something out of nothing. He breathed forth His breath into a pile of dirt and created what? That's right. We would do well to remember that. You really think that the God that created everything we see is not capable of handling the problems you face today and tomorrow? We would do well to remember His mighty acts. It would do us well to remember the account of the Exodus that we've looked at, or the account of the promised land, the conquest of the promised land. It would do us well to remember the account of Esther, but it would do us very well to remember the mighty salvation of God. That through Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, His perfect atonement for our sins, we became joint heirs with Christ. Sometimes we forget that, right? Sometimes we forget the cesspool of sin that He has saved us from, and we know we do because we go right back to that cesspool again. Anybody sin this week? You understand that we only sin when we forget the goodness of God and we turn our eyes to the Asherahs and the Baals. It would do us good to remember that Christ through confessing with our lips and believing in our hearts, has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west and has called us to a life of holiness. We do well to remember that it was not by our works we were saved, but because of His work on the cross. And we would do well to remember that so that we would represent His glory well to the world that needs that message. Because as we remember the mighty acts of God, if we truly understand the gifts of salvation, we understand that our salvation is the mightiest act God has ever performed in our personal life. And we need to remember that. We do well to remember His faithfulness to us and how He has seen us through times of turmoil and times of struggle, the times He has provided for us when we thought that there was absolutely no way ends were going to be able to meet. We would do well to remember His goodness towards us by counting our blessings. There's a reason we sing that song. It's because we forget them. But when we go through and we number them, it gives us security, it gives us trust that in the midst of whatever we're facing and the turmoil within or the turmoil without, God has not changed and He still holds us. He is faithful to us. We must remember that faithfulness. And we must remember His faithfulness that He has shown to the people in our church family. Why? Because we forget. And I promise you that there is never a better time than hearing somebody that has walked along somebody else saying, "Remember when God did this." We are called to remember. We are called to help one another remember His faithfulness. We are called to do that by testifying to His faithfulness in our lives and the faithfulness He has shown to other people. That's what allows us to walk in stability. That's what allows us to walk in hope. It's the thing that urges our hearts to understand that He and He alone is worthy to follow. You see, we came here Sunday morning needing to remember. That's the reason God designed the fellowship of the body. That's the very reason we're told in Hebrews 10:25 not to forsake the meeting of the body. Why? Because without the body, we easily forget. And in the context of chapter 10, it says we're needed to poke and prod each other into faith, onto the path that God has designed for us. We need that. Especially as the days seem to get more evil. As we look around, there are people that came this morning with their minds and hearts twisted upside down. There are people that came this morning leaning into the Baals and Asherahs to find and solve their problems. It can be through tobacco, it can be through alcohol, it can be through drugs, it can be through binge watching Netflix, it can be by finding affirmation on Facebook. It can be by working yourself to death because you're trying to find purpose in and of yourself. All those are forgetting God and focusing on the Baals and the Asheraths. We came this morning with problems and we have two choices. We can either remember the God of our salvation and the mighty works He has done and the mighty works He has accomplished in our life, or we can run to all these other things that just lead to destruction. But the testimony of God's people, the testimony of the Old Testament, the testimony of the New Testament, the testimony of the believers gathered here in this church is that God is the only means of salvation and He is the only one worth following, and everything else, to borrow the words from a song we like to sing, is sinking sand. It offers absolutely no hope. Where have you been trying to find your hope? Have you forgotten your God? Have you forgotten the truths of His Word? Or maybe you have forgotten how the truths of His Word apply to you. And understand, we only forget how the truths of His Word apply to us when we tend to make everything about us. God has called you to remember this morning. What has God provided for you this week? It's an easy answer. Everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. God has given you, even if you were to list 7 days and it was just a list of horrific, awful events, maybe His most mighty act is something you can still remember. It's when He gave you a new heart, when He brought you into the new covenant, when He forgave your sins, when He called you His child through grace and mercy. And the truth of the New Testament is, no matter what we face, that should be enough. So how do we help ourselves remember? Covered that a little bit. We meet together. How many of you like this? We feast together. We celebrate together. We encourage one another. But maybe you're like me, and you can go to town and come back forgetting something. What would have helped me remember? A list. Wow. Maybe you need to make a list. Maybe you need to make a list and sit down and write until you get a cramp in your hand the blessings that God has given you. Maybe you need to store that away in a place so that at that time of day, whether it be dawn or dusk or lunch or in the middle of the night, when things seem to overwhelm and send you into turmoil, you can look at the goodness of the testimony of your all-powerful God who brought you salvation. We meet together, we feast together, we make lists, but then we use our tongues to testify to it. How are the people around you going to know that you trust God if you do not tell them? How are they going to know the mighty works of God in your life if you do not share it with others? How is the lost world going to hear of the great salvation you've received unless you are sent and unless you speak? We are called to be a people that remember.
Thank you for listening to the Grace and Truth podcast. You can follow Grace and Truth on Facebook and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. You can also visit the blog at chascarlisle.com. That's chascarlisle.com. Our prayer is that your mind has been engaged and your heart has been encouraged by the truth of God's Word.